All right, we're starting here at the bottom of Samach Ted Amud Bet by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hamibakeret. So this is a animal that's having its first child. Hamikasha leled. It's having trouble in the birthing process. Mechatech ever, umashlich the klavim. So what we assume would have been a bechor, and a bechor that's kadosh, you couldn't throw it to the klavim. It either has to go on the mizveach or be given to the kohen. Over here, since there was a problem in the birthing process and they cut it up into limbs, that you can throw out to the klavim, to the dogs. Yetzarubo, if the robe came out, now the assumption here in the Mishnah is kachat, the robe came out in one shot. We're not talking about a case here where it was cut up. The Gemara will discuss that. What happens in a case where you cut it up and the robe has come out at that point in time? So yetzarubo, harizei yikaver, that has to be buried, because once rubo comes out, that's a real leida, and since it's a real leida, it has kedushat bechor, and kedushat bechor has to be nikvar. V'nifteret mina bechorah, and the next born animal from this behema will not be a bechor because he or she already had a pet rechem. Kidmar yatzashlish umicharo lovid kuchavim. A third of the animal came out of the womb and then he sold it to a non-Jew. Bechazar yatzashlish acher. And then the second shlish, the second third came out. So now we have 2/3 of the animal out, the rove of the animal out. Ravuna amar kadosh. At that point in time, that it's kadosh. Rabba amar eno kadosh. Rabba says it doesn't have kedushat bechora. Ravuna amar kadosh, kasar lemafreya kadosh. He says retroactively it establishes that the fetus that now has exited into being an animal, that it was kadosh from the moment it left the mother's womb. So even though there's no birth until the robe of the animal is left, or until the head has exited the mother, nevertheless, once we know, if we've established there is a birth, the birthing process began from the moment it left. And so therefore the mafrei it's kadosh, became the nafkele rubei, igle milto the mafrei demi karava kadosh, it was originally kadosh, my zavin love klum zavin, and he had no right to sell it, because it wasn't his to sell, and therefore we dissolved the transaction that he had with the nachrei, because he didn't have a right to sell, he sold something that wasn't his. Rabba amar, eno kadosh, kasara mikano naba kadosh. The kadusha is only established from the moment that the rove leaves the womb, or the head comes out of the animal, that's the point of birth. At that point of birth, from that moment forward, it's kadosh. But that means if you preempted and sold it, then you prevented it from becoming kadosh. My dezavin shapir zavin. What you sold at that moment in time was a fair sale because it wasn't kadosh yet. Vazu de tamayu. And this is similar to another machloka that we saw between them. Didmar. Yitzash lish derach dofen. A third of the animal exited derach dofen, meaning a cesarean section. Ushnesh lishay derach rechem. And 2/3 of it actually came through the rechem, came through the womb. So Rav Huna Amar Eino Kadosh. Rav Huna says there's nothing to talk about here. Rabba Amar Kadosh. Rabba says it is Kadosh. Rav Huna Amar Eino Kadosh is the opposite of their opinions before. Rav Huna says that it's Eino Kadosh because Rav Huna Letamei, Damar Lafreya Kadosh. That we look at it retroactively. Veruba Kama Leite Berechem. So if I start from the point I hit Rov, then I look retroactively. But the moment I hit Rove, 1/3 had exited through the cesarean section, 1/3 had exited through the womb. At that point, I now have 2/3 of the animal out, and a Rove of it has not gone through the Rechem, so it's not Kadosh. That's it, over. Rabba Amar Kadosh. Rabba Letamei, Damar Mikano Laba Kadosh. That it's only prospectively that it becomes Kadosh, and therefore, Ruba Derech Rechem Nafik. From the point that you reach the Rove coming out of the Derech Rechem, that's the moment of Kedusha. So fine, it's not until the behemoth is entirely out here. Here, we'd have to have the whole behemoth out. But at that moment, the whole behemoth is out. Now I have a rove that came through the rechem. Prospectively, it's kadosh. Vitzricha, and I need both of these machlokot. Both the one that's referencing our Mishnah, as well as the one that we brought as in the second case. Diyash minyan baha. If you only told me about this case, baha kama ravuna mishum to the kula. That's why ravuna says in the other case, I mean in the first case that we brought down, he says, mafreya kadosh. Because over there, it would be lekulo if he held like shita rabba. Ava baha, over here. In this case, where it was 1/3, came out as a C-section, and then the remaining 2/3 came through the rechem, then Rav Huna's positions the kula over here. So maybe the chumra ema modile the rabba. So maybe over here, where rabba's position is the chumra, saying the kan labah prospectively is the chumra, he would agree with rabba. So therefore I brought down the second case to show you that Rav Huna keeps his position of the mafreya kadosh, even in the case where it's a kula. V'yitmar baha, baha kama rabba, if you only have the second case, in that case is the case where Rabba says that we say Mikana Lahaba because there's the Chumra. Allah Baha, in the first case where saying Mikana Lahaba is a Kula because it allows you to sell it to the non-Jew, then Ema Modele Rav Huna, maybe you would agree with Rav Huna because that would be the Chumra over there. Tzricha, so we show you that the opinions are consistent in both cases. That's whether the Kula, whether the Chumra. Rav Huna says the Mafreya Kadosh, retroactively it's Kadosh, the Chumra and the Kula. And Rabba says Mikana Lahaba, prospectively it's Kadosh, even the Chumra, even the Kula.
tap back in, him at the rear end side.
The way Rashi describes it, it's a very difficult situation. He says, they originally started to take it out, then finally the womb or the birth canal opened up, and the remaining two-thirds came out. I'm not exactly sure, like, practically how that happens. Maybe if you have a third out already.
Was there a cut from the cesarean all the way through to the breast?
I was also trying to picture exactly how that happened. I'm not sure. He sliced all the way down the birth canal. It's possible. All right, so now our Mishnah. Hamivakeret, hamikashel eleid, mechatech eiver eiver, mashlich leklavim, you throw it out to the dogs. My love, what's the case here? This is what we discussed in the Mishnah, when we say mechatech, until what point? Is it a case mechatech umeniach? He's cutting limb by limb and dumping it on the side here, piling, making a pile up. Viamart lamafreyahu kadosh, if you hold a gravuna, that retroactively it's kadosh, yikaver mi baile, then you should have to bury it, because once a row of the animals now exited, now we know that there was a birth. If there is a birth, then it's kadosh, limafreya. That means all the items that you took out, all the limbs that you took out are kadosh. They're all sitting here in a pile. They should all be kadosh. How can you throw it to the dogs now? You should have to bury it, because it's kadosh b'dushat b'chora. Now the scenario here is that he cuts a limb and throws it to the dogs right away. It's not that he's stacking it up or keeping it by his side. He's throwing it one by one. As he pulls them out, he's throwing it out to the dogs. Mai, what would be the din if he actually severed the limbs and then left them by his side? Yikaver, in Ochanami, you would have to bury it then because they have Kedushat Bechorah, according to Ravuna. Where it says, Adatan is safe, well, according to you, Ravuna, why does the safer go to this more far-fetched case, which is Yatzarubo Yikaver, Beniftara Mina Bechorah? That if a robe came out at once, then it's Kadosh, and the animal is buried, and if it's Poter, the next one from being a Bechorah. Let us be more particular in the first case and divide on a much finer detail, which is, Mishlich, it's only a case, where is it true that you can throw it out to the dogs? That's when you cut off a limb and throw it. Cut off a limb and throw it. On the other hand, but on the other hand, if you cut the limbs and then you stack them up by you, then you'd have to bury them because it's kedushat b'chorah. The robe came out, has kedushat b'chorah, the mafreya, retroactively. And then it should be require now to be kvura, like any other bechora. If you held mikana laba, if you had that it's only prospectively that it becomes kadosh, then either way you don't have an issue because it's only from that point forward that it becomes prospectively does become kadosh. And it also says vishlama imi lekana bahu kadosh came into ink kedusha halalav ayitziat rubo. There's no kedusha until the robe is out. Imkain. Whatever was cut out before the tirov, ain't kedusha chalolav klal. There's no kedusha that falls upon it. That you could throw. Af me'achar yitziat rov. Even after the rov is exited. Anything comes after that point in time will require kvura. The mashiyotza. So whatever comes after the point of the rov, even from the kalabah, will require kvura. That's the way Rashi explains it as well. So Gemara says, Eino Chanami, that's exactly what the Mishnah says. They're going to quasi-amend the Mishnah to read this way. Chanami kamar, bamedvar mamri mechatech mashlich. What's the case here? The case is where he took it and he threw it away to the dogs immediately. If he cut it up and left it by his side, naseh, kimi, shiatza rubo v'ikaver, tzif. The robe came out in one shot, and therefore you would need to do kvura by it. Right, boy rovo. When it comes to the Ibarim, do we follow the majority or do you not follow the majority? Gemara wants to know, hey, dummy, what's the scenario here? We have the robe of the animals now out of the womb, it's out of the animal, but the last limb that makes it up to the robe, only a mute of that aver has exited. Hi, mute. Divrai, that miut that is outside, but a robe de aver shadinanle? Do we then say, okay, the robe of this limb is inside, the miut's on the outside. Well, the robe's on the inside, we drag the miut after the robe on the inside, and it takes it back in. If it takes it back in, you don't have the robe of the animal out. Oh, but a ruba de uber shadinanle. Or do we say, the robe of the animal is now outside, and even though this is a miut aver, it sticks with the robe of the animal. So Rabbi says over here, pshito, the lo shabkin and ruba de uber, baslin and but a robe with the aver. It's clear to us, Then when it comes to the choice between Rov Eiver and Rov Ubar, we follow Rov Ubar. So here, even though it's a miut, it's the minority of a limb that is exited, nevertheless, it'll be drawn after the Rov of the fetus that is already exited now, which is a baby animal. That animal is considered to be out, and we don't drag it back in. Ella. The case or the scenario is like this. Gagon, Shiatzach Hetzio, Barov Eiver. Very interesting. You have 50-50. 50% on the inside, 50% on the outside. But that 50% that's on the outside includes the rove, the majority of a limb. There's a minority of this limb left on the inside. So now what? That minority that is left on the inside, mahu. What's the din? Do we throw it after the rove aver? And that would mean that the rove has now exited. Or do we say, no, it's cut. We cut it along the lines of what's in and out. And you still have a 50-50 and we don't know yet. Shatashma. Our Mishnah, Yotza Rubo Harizei Yikaver. If the rove exited the animal, then it's buried because it has Kedushat Bechora. My Rubo, what does it mean the majority here? Ilema Rubo Mamash. If you mean it means literally the majority, Ad Hashtalo Ashmin on the Rubo Kukulo. We haven't seen this anywhere in Shas, the Rubo Kukulo. You have to have a Mishnah here teach me that Rubo Kukulo? That's a principle that it's throughout Shas. That's not something new. We don't need a Mishnah to teach us that. Ella, it must be some unusual scenario. And what is that? Elok, lav kigon shiyotza chetzio berov, eiver. Isn't it exactly our scenario that we're looking for here? Where it's 50-50, 50 inside, 50 outside, but there's a rove eiver that came out, and our Mishnah is saying, bataruvo shadina, and we throw it after the rove. I says, no. Kigon shiyotza rubo bemiut eiver. No, it's like the previous scenario that we thought. Previous scenario, which is the rove of the animals on the outside, but it includes a miut of an eiver, a minority of a limb. And that was the question that we said before. Well, if you have a minority of a limb on the outside, do we then say it goes after the rove of the animal that's on the outside, or does it go after the rove of that limb that's found on the inside? The Gemara said before, pshita, that it goes after the rove of the ubar. Gemara says here, about kamash malon, that's what the Mishnah is teaching us, exactly that principle, which is lo shavkin and ruba the ubar, the beima, bazlina batar, eiver. Whatever the Gemara thought was pshita before, that the Gemara says, now that's exactly what our Mishnah is teaching us, that the rove ubar governs over the rove of the eiver. So we don't have an answer to this question that was posited by Rova, and the Gemara leaves it as unanswered. And we have a series now of questions also that remain either taken or unanswered, scenarios of whether it's considered to be born or not, the animal. Right. It's a very strange, the Gemara said cheetah, and then it comes back and says, oh, we need the Mishnah teaches that. Again, it's a very strange flow of the Gemara. I agree with you. By Rova. Rabbi has another question. What happens if you enwrap the fetus, and here is the bark of the palm tree, you know, some, he wraps it up, bitalito, or wraps it up in a cloth or a cloak of some sort. When you have the wrapped up over here, the question is that the requirement to be kadosh b'tushat b'chora is that it's peterechem. So does having the animal being enwrapped in another foreign article, does that prevent it from being peterechem? It's wrapped in a sieve. If it's wrapped in a cloth or talit, what's the din? It seems to be that they're the same question, basically, sieve and talit. All right, bishliyato mahu. When it comes to the shilya, the placenta, if it's wrapped up in the placenta, what is the din? Shilyato orcheu. What do you mean? That's a natural birthing process. The placenta is a part of the natural birthing process, so maybe that shouldn't be a problem. Ella, b'shilya acheret mahu. It's wrapped up in another placenta. It's not wrapped up in its own placenta, but another placenta. Karachto v'achazto v'hiotziato mahu. So Rashi says over here, this time that a woman that is birthing an animal, what happens if she sticks her hands in and then uses her hands to take the fetus out, so her hands are separating between the rechem and the fetus? The Rabbeinu Tam does not like Rashi's explanation for a number of reasons. He says, first of all, we never have a woman birthing an animal. And throughout Shas, the only thing person that's birthing an animal is a ro'eh, is a shepherd and not a woman. That's number one. And number two is Lashon Zachar. Everything else is done by Lashon Zachar. So why is there a Lashon Nikeva over here? And that's what drove Rashi to say it's a woman that's birthing the animal over here, because it's written by Lashon Nikeva. He says, I'll explain it to you. I like the gears of the Rabbeinu Chananel. The gears of the Rabbeinu Chananel is karachto achoto ve'otziato. It's not achazato, but rather achoto, that he was enwrapped by his sister. And that's why it's written in the female form. The female form is that another behema was wrapped around this bechor that was coming out. And now it's a question, was it a penterechem or not? And truly, you could have said karachto achiv. If his brother was wrapped around him, we have the same question. But over there, one of them for certain is the Bechor. So over there, we didn't ask it about his Achiv. We only ask about him when wrapped by his sister, because there would either be Patur or Chayab. And that's why it's written in the female form here. It's very interesting, because it's Achazto. The Zayin and the Vav got mixed up between the Girsa of the Rach and the Girsa that we have, according to Rashi. So, hey, Chidami, what's the case here? The case on all these scenarios. Either Nafak Derech Reshe, if it came out head first, Patarte. It's over. There's nothing to talk about. Once the head's out, that's a birth. Then we know it's Patarechem. Elo, the Nafak Derech Margalo Tav, it came out in breach. Came out with its hind legs first. And therefore, when we wrap it up, whether it's wrapped up in a foreign article, whether it's your hands that are there, preventing it from touching the rechem, or being peter rechem, what's the din? Now here's this case. Bilato chulda. A weasel went into the womb, swallowed the fetus that's there, vehotziato, and walked out. Mahu, what's the din there? Hotziato, harafikte, it's out. I mean, what's the question here? It's already out, there's nothing to talk about. Elo blato, he swallowed it, vehotziato, and walked out. Then decided that it wasn't exactly what he wanted, vehichnisato, takes it right back into the womb, vikiato, and expelled it into the womb, vehyatza me'elav, and then it had a regular birth. Mahu, what's the din over there? Hidvik, shnei rachamim, he places two wombs up against each other, vehyatza mizeh, vehnichnas lezeh, went out of one of the behemot, into the other one. Mahu, in that case, didei patar, delav didei lo patar, that it went out of its own, so it was peter rechem from its own womb, and therefore that womb, that animal no longer can have kedushat b'chorah. But the other animal, it cannot be poter. I mean, that just because it went into this other animal doesn't mean it's peter rechem. Or duma, delav didei nami patar, even the second animal, after it's expelled from the second animal's womb, that also be classified as peter rechem. The Gemara leaves all of these Biteku. Leaves all of them as unexplained teiku. Now obviously these scenarios are theoretical cases because it's obvious that a lot of these can't practically will not happen. The Gemara is just trying to test the limits of what consider Petarechem or not. They're not trying to say these scenarios actually happen. They're trying to understand what the meaning of Petarechem means. Is the din of Petarechem simply that it leaves the womb? Or is Petarechem that it actually comes through the canal, the birthing canal, and leaves the rechem itself while touching the canal? And we'll see the Gemara in a second deals with what happens if the canal's there. There's nothing mafsik, but there's airspace. I mean, the Gemara is trying to test the limits of what peter rechem is. So it's coming up with these theoretical scenarios to try to understand what peter rechem really means. And so even though these cases are far-fetched, they're only there to test the logical limits of what peter rechem is. All right, by Rav Acha. Niftechu kol lei peter rechem, mahu. So this is a question, again, continuing this line of thought, what happens if the walls of the Beit HaRechem expand to the point where the animal just drops out and never actually goes through the walls or touches the walls of the Rechem? Avir Rechem Akdish? Is it simply the fact that it's in the airspace of the Rechem coming out that way, that's enough? Beika, and that you have. Odilma Negiat Rechem Ikadsha. It's actually being in contact with the Rechem on the way out that makes the Kedusha. Avalek, and that you're lacking over here. Okay, you're testing, what does it mean to be Peter Rechem? Liftor, to exit. The exit created by pressing out of the rechem, meaning poter at the rechem, that he leaves the rechem. So that means that he leaves any way possible, or poter at the rechem, like Shaul is suggesting, doesn't mean that it pushes its way out of the rechem. It's poter itself, it exits the rechem, but it means that it creates the exit itself. So, by Maravashi, nekru kot lei beit rechem. What happens if the rechem is gone? Mahu. So when it says nekru, letnehu, there's nothing to talk about. There's no rechem anymore. Then there's no kedusha, because you can't have a peter rechem without a rechem. That just can't be possible. Ella, nekru, betalu le betzavare. Again, it seems to be an odd scenario, but it was such a hard birth that the fetus comes out with the rechem wrapped around its neck. Meaning that it's such a hard or difficult birth that not only does the fetus come out, it comes out with the womb wrapped around its neck. And therefore, what's it? My. Bim koma mekadshe. They're only mekadesh when it's still in place. I mean, it has to be a rechem, a womb that is in place. Shlobim komam lo mikadshe. Or, but once it's outside, that womb's not mikadesh. Oh, demo shlobim komam na mikadshe. Also when it's outside, meaning that the animal came out with the rechem. So now it's peter rechem. So maybe that's okay. By me ne rabir mi ami rabi zero. Nigmimu kotulei hapeter rechem. So over here, it's not clear what this means. Nigmimu. Nigmimu in general means that it was shaved down, carved down. And that's the first interpretation brought by Rashi, which means the womb is intact. It's just been slowly sliced away at till it's a much thinner womb. The original thickness of the walls of the womb have now been reduced. That's one way to read it. Rashi brings down a second scenario. It's a case where the rechem is gone, but the mouth is intact. And then you hear from the Oroch just the opposite. The Oroch says that it's the womb's intact, but nitaklu siftei beit rechem, the mouth of the womb is gone. So either scenario, either the scenario Rashi says where the rechem is gone but the mouth is intact, or the Oroch says the case where the womb is intact but the mouth of the womb is gone. So in all these scenarios, mahu, what's the din? Amalek, and it kind of got bebaye di baylon. You're asking a question that's similar to a question that was asked by Rabbi Zeira. Or that Rabbi Zeira asked of Ravasi. Omed meruba ala parutz. Sounds like an arrogant sugya. But here you have the remaining part of the womb is greater than the parts that have already been severed or are missing here. Yatzah derech parutz. But the animal exits through the missing piece of the womb. Or parutz meruba ala omed. The part that is not there, non-existent, is greater than the part that exists. Yatzah derech omed. And it exited the part where the womb is still intact. My, what's the din? So Gemara says, Adkanoi baile ela parutz mrubala omeid. The only scenario that they asked about is a case where it's parutz mrubala omeid, that the opening or missing parts of the womb are greater than that which exists. Dik omeid baolam, that there's still something left. Aval nigmimu, dlobin kami baile, if it's gone, it's gone, that they don't ask. So they're saying, your question is too far-fetched. Your question is so far out of bounds that it's clear that that's not considered peter rechem. The only question we have when peter rechem is if there's a portion of the rechem still intact, depending on the size of that portion, if that portion is the majority that's still there, but it exits through the part that's not there, or in a case where the majority is not there, and it exits through the part that does exist, in either of those scenarios, that's our question. But where it's gone, the gamre, nigmu, where either the womb's missing, you just have the entrance to the womb left, or the entrance is gone and the womb is still intact, or that according to Rashi, where it's been carved away on the inside, and that the womb doesn't exist. If it doesn't exist, then there's nothing to talk about. There is no peter rechem over here. Because it's not, it's a thinness, it's not the original walls of the rechem. They've been sliced down to the point where they're so thin that they're not classified as the original walls. I agree with you. That first pshat in Rashi is very difficult based on the conclusion of the Gemara. Probably why Rashi brought a second pshat and the Oroch explained differently, because it is much more difficult. Although Rashi, the first pshat is going after what we normally know as nigmimu throughout Shas. Nigmimu of Shas is that you sliced it down until it was thinner. That's what it means, to carve away. And so that's probably what forced Rashi in that direction, but Rashi realizes the difficulty of the conclusion of the Gemara, and therefore he brings the second possibility, which is somewhere, I mean the opposite, but similar to what the Oroch does. Right now, new Mishnah. Here, you have a stillborn, meaning that the fetus is already passed away, is dead inside of the animal. The ro'eh sticks his hand in, and he touches it. Ben b'me'emat me'ah. Ben bebehemat Torah. That's whether we're talking about a behemat me'ah, or whether we're talking about a behemat Torah tahor. But Tanakhama says he's tahor. Rabbi Yosef Glid Omer, b'tmeah tameh. If it's a non-kosher animal, you stick your hand in it, you're tameh. If it's a kosher animal, Torah tahor. If it's a kosher animal and you stick your hand in to touch this dead fetus, then you remain tahor. Now here we're talking about a case of what we call tum'ah blu'ah. Tum'ah blu'ah is tum'ah that's already encapsulated or totally inside. And in general we believe that tum'ah blu'ah, according to most Tanaim, is considered to be out of bounds, it's not tameh at all. Tum'ah that's totally encapsulated, it's inside, is not mitameh. So then Tosfot points out over here that even in that, v'yesh lomar mishum d'Rabbi Akiva mitameh lekaman, ubar b'mei yishai itztrich le'hachi gab b'meimah kal v'chomer, ki depirish v'kontris. We see that there are reasons to say that even though it's tumah blu'ah, nevertheless, there's reasons to say that what is inside this animal is tameh. So even though normally we would say tumah blu'ah, there's nothing to discuss, we're going to see in the Gemara coming up that there might be reasons over here to think otherwise. And because of those scenarios, that's why we have to talk about this tumah blu'ah. So my time at the Tanakhama. What's the reasoning behind the Tanakhama? I'm Rav Chista Kal v'chomer. Imho ila imo lahatiro ba'achila, lo toyo lo letara midei nevela. If its mother is able to protect it in the sense that it's kosher achila, if you shech the mother and the fetus is inside, the fetus is nitar la'achila ayidei deshchita of the mother. So if the mother is strong enough or able to take care of the fetus with regards to eating, then certainly it should be strong enough to take care of it to be metahero ta midei nevela. It should be strong enough to protect it from becoming a nevela. Gemara says, that works well for Ashkan Behemat Torah. That works well for kosher animals. For kosher animals, you have that scenario where you can shecht it, and then the fetus inside would be kosher. So therefore, I could say kal v'chomer that it should be tahor as well. But when you're talking about a behemah, a non-kosher animal, even if you shecht a non-kosher animal, the fetus inside will never be kosher, because the animal mother itself is not kosher. So then what's the kal v'chomer? So behemah tmeah minolon. So then how do we deal with non-kosher animals? Amakra, v'chi yamut min behemah. If something dies from the behemah, zu behemah tmeah. That's a non-kosher animal. Asher hi lachem lo ochla, that is for you to eat, zu behemah teora. Itkish behemah tmeah le behemah Torah. There's a hekesh here in the pasuk, which talks about nevelot. You can have a nevela that comes from a non-kosher animal, and you can have a nevela that comes from a kosher animal. Both, if both animals die a natural death, they are nevelot, and mitame nevela. That's whether it's kosher or non-kosher. So in the pasuk, we find kosher and non-kosher animals juxtaposed in the limud, and then we have a hekesh between them. The hekesh between behemah tmeah le behemah Torah. Ma behemah Torah ubra tahor. Just like by the kosher animal, the fetus inside is tahor. Af behemah tmeah ubra tahor. So too by the non-kosher animal, the fetus that's found inside will be tahor. Even though the kal v'chomer doesn't apply, nevertheless, the kal v'chomer from the behemah Torah will then be extended to the behemah tmeah because of this hekesh. That's the limud of the Tanna Kamma. Now the Gemara is going to move over to the limud of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. It's going to make one attempt at explaining it, then reject that, and bring a second attempt. The first attempt is this. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, my time. What's the reason behind Rabbi Yossi Aglili who differentiates between a behemah Torah and a behemah tmeah? So, Amar Rabbi Yisrael Tamakra, the Pasuk says, B'chol olech al kapav, b'chol hachaya olechet, so mechalchei kapayim b'chaya tameiti lecha. He says, anything that is mechalchei kapayim, walks on its feet. Now, kapayim indicates that it has a single foot, which means it's not a split-hooved animal. So it says here, mehalchei kapayim, anything that walks on its feet that is not split-hooved, bichaya, that's found inside of an animal, tamei tilecha, that I make tamei for you. So that's the answer. The answer is only when I have a non-kosher fetus on the inside will it be tmeya, because it says mehalchei kapayim. Something that is a mechalkei kapayim that exits a chaya, that's what's considered to be tameh. So you have a fetus inside that's not split-hooved, that'll be tameh. You have a fetus inside that is split-hooved, that'll be tahor. Distinguishing between a behemah tohorah's fetus and a behemah tmeyan its fetus. Elamiyata. So I'll come up, a great scenario for you. Kalot b'mei para. What happens if I have inside of a para, kosher animal, but it happens to have a fetus that does not have split hooves? This is the scenario we had before. It has camel-like hooves. It has horse-like hooves, but it's born to a kosher animal. Litameh? That fetus should be tameh. Dimichalke kapayim bechayahu? That is a non-split-hooved animal found inside of another animal. It could include a paw. You would say the fingers are tensile and they don't include it. You're right. It might include pawed animals, but we're not looking at the five fingers as being five separate entities. Gemara says, no. You don't understand. It's mechalchei kapayim v'mechalchei arba. It's only those that walk on their paws or on their fours that are inside something that walks on its fours. That's a continuation of the puzzle. Mechalchei arba. So it's got to be four inside a four. Svahai, mechalchei arba, mechalchei shmono. That's a four, we call them a four-pawed animal, four-hooved animal, inside of an eight-hooved animal. Because it's a kalut, which is inside of a meipara. Para is considered eight, but it's four inside, so that won't be a problem. So now I'm going to say, okay, I get it. I have a better snare for you. Para, b'mei gamal. What happens if I have the other way around? I have a non-kosher animal, which is the gamal, which has four, but inside of it, he now has a fetus that's a para that's split-hooved. He had a split-hooved gamal inside of a gamal. So lo titameh, that shouldn't be tameh. T'malchei shmona b'malchei arbahu. That's an eight hooved animal inside of a four-hooved animal. So when it says, cholech, v'chol olech, the rabot parah b'megamal. I have an extra v'chol here to mirab in that case, a scenario where I have an eight-hooved animal inside of a four-hooved animal. So when it says, all right, here's the better scenario. Kolot b'megklota. I have a four-hooved animal inside of another four-hooved animal. Litameh, it should be tameh. T'malchei arba, malchei arba. Is four of a four-hooved animal inside of a four-hooved animal. So why? I have a case here where I had a four-hooved animal born to a kosher animal. That animal, according to everyone except Rabbi Shimon, is kasher. That's a fine animal, you can eat it. Not according to Rabbi Shimon. Excluding Rabbi Shimon, you can eat that animal, it's kasher. That then goes and has another fetus, which is also four-hooved animal. So now I have four inside of four. Even though these animals are ksherim and tehorim, you can eat them. Nevertheless, you're going to say that they're tamei nevela, according to this. So Gemara says, "Lahachi wahani kavachomer the Rav Chisda." That's the kavachomer of Rav Chisda. If shechita is good enough to make it kosher b'achila, then certainly it should be good enough to make it tahor. So we can use that kavachomer that we had Rav Chisda before. If you shech this kalut that has a kluta inside of it, then it would be kosher to eat both of them. So certainly, if I have the feast inside of it, it should be good enough to be mitaheret. So now, okay, so far we've dealt with all scenarios. Matzviflar about chodvai bar ami. I have a great one for you. Chazir v'mechizirta. I have a pig inside of a, right? So, what's going on here? Ah, pigs have split hooves. Pigs are not male gera, but they are mafris parsa. So now I have an eight-hoofed animal inside of an eight-hoofed animal. Now what are you going to say to me? Loli tamei. So you're going to say to me that the fetus pig is not tamei tumat nevela. Ha'al cheshmonu. So that leaves it. Now we have no answer. So this attempt at explaining the position of Rabbi Yossi Aglili fails here at the point of the pig, which is that the pig presents us with an illogical conclusion, which is that you could have behemot tameiot, would all be considered nevela if their fetus dies inside of the mother, except for the pig. A pig who has a fetus inside of it that's dead, if you go and touch it, that would not be tamei. That seems to be something that is absurd. And therefore, we can't say that's not the explanation of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. We have to try something else. El Amar of Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Nachman Yitzchak says, no, mehocha, we don't have this. Nefesh ki tiga b'chol tamei. And a nefesh that touches anything that's tamei. O b'nivlat chayat meya. O b'nivlat behemat meya. O b'nivlat sheretz tamei. Where it says, v'chi nivlat behemat meya mitama. Ubitohra lo mitama. I don't understand. Nevela has equal application to kosher animals and non-kosher animals. Nevela means it died of its own. I mean, it died a natural death. It died in a way that was not classified as shechita. Over there, both kosher animals and non-kosher animals are classified as a nevela. So why is it that the Torah had to enumerate here, it says, all these scenarios of nevelat chayat meya, o nevelat behemat meya? Why do I have to lay them all out? What's the difference over here? So the Gemara says, why do I have to live out chayat meya, nevelat meya, tameya, nevelat sheretz tamei? It's equally true of kosher animals. So why is it only mentioned tameya and not tehora? So the Gemara says, ela ezezeh, what's the case here? Is it ubar shibitmeya? That's the case here. The ubar shibitmeya, tamei, ubitora, tahor. The scenario that the Torah is speaking about is a case in where it's only true of a tameya and not a true of a tohora is where the fetus died inside. But the fetus decided, said, that's the case here. Nefesh ki tiga b'chol tamei, o b'nivla t'chaya t'meya. Where is this nevela? It's inside the mother of a t'meya. Nevela t'meya t'meya. Inside the mother. That scenario is true only by a non-kosher animal, not by a kosher animal. And that's why it only specified t'meya. Since now we learned it out of Rav Nachman and Yitzchok, to Rav Yitzchok Lomeli. What about the pasuk that Rav Yitzchok brought before? V'holeichal kapav b'chol chaya olechet. What are you going to do with that pasuk? So, Ilav the Rabbi Yitzchak, if it was not for that pasuk of Rabbi Yitzchak, Kama mina kulei likid Rabbi Huda'ato. This all comes to learn like the din of Rabbi, which is coming up in the Gemara. We're going to get to that on Ayin Aleph tomorrow's daf, that it's a limud that Rabbi has. Kamash Malon, that Rabbi Yitzchak's limud that tells us that there is some sort of distinction in an ubar that's found inside of a behemat tamei, that tells us look for a distinction. And that tells us here to take the limud in the pasuk that we brought, the second pasuk we brought, and apply it to only behemat tamei, not to behemat Torah. And the limud comes out of that pasuk of Rav Nachman and Yitzchak. So Rav Yitzchak's pasuk sheds light on the pasuk of Rav Nachman and Yitzchak, telling us don't learn out of that pasuk the din of Rabbi, but also learn out the din of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. Tanya, I'm Rabbi Yonatan. Namti lo the Ben Azai. I whispered, I said to Ben Azai, I know that a nevela of a kosher animal is tamei. Nevelat behema tameya. I know the nevela of a behema tameya is also shemitama. Nevelat chayat tameya shemitama. I also know that the carcass of a chayat tameya is mitamei tumat nevela. Nevelat chayat Torah lo lamadnu. The only one we don't know is a kosher chayat. How do I know that its carcass, in a scenario where it dies not through shechita, how do I know that that is an nevela? It's mitama, minayin. So now me, he whispered back to me, he said back to me, kol oleich al kapav b'chol achaya. He said back to me, yeah, I have it for you. Anything that walks, this puzzle that we brought by Rabbi Yitzchak before, kol oleich al kapav b'chol achaya olechet. So now I'm tilo, I said over to him, v'chi ne'emar b'chol achaya, doesn't say any chaya. It says, that's inside. That comes from the limud of Rabbi Yitzchak before. That's saying that's something that's internal, not something that is external. So he says, namli uma Yishma el omer. So he says back to me, Ben Azai says back to me, you learned by Rabbi Yishmael. What does Rabbi Yishmael say about this? I said back to him, I whispered back to him, that is for you to eat, Zubehema Torah. This is the puzzle that was brought by the Tanakhama before, to say that there's a hekesh between Behema Torah and Behema Tmeya.
And since I now know that a Behema Tehora, its nevela is mitama, as well as a Behema Tmeya, its nevela is mitama, then I don't need the puzzle to tell me about a chaya. And that is because we have this principle, Lamadnu chaya bichlal Behema, that chaya is subsumed under Behema. Meaning it's a subcategory of behema, ubehema bichlal chaya, and the opposite is true as well. That chaya is subsumed under the term behema, and therefore chaya torah bichlal behema torah. Anything that's true of a behema torah is also true of a chaya torah. Chaya tmeya bichlal behema tmeya, and same is true by a chaya tmeya. Anything that's true of a behema tmeya is true of the chaya tmeya, and the opposite way around will be true as well, which is behemat meya klal chayat meya. Whatever is true of a chayat meya will be true of a behemat meya. Behemat Torah bichlal chayat Torah. And whatever is true of a chayat Torah will also be true of the behemat Torah. So therefore we have this hekesh that between behemat and chayat that tells us whatever is true of the behemat is true of the chayat, whatever is true of the chayat is true of the behemat. And therefore if we know the din by behemat, I don't need to know the din by the chayat. We'll know it automatically. The Gemara tomorrow will discuss, how do we know that a behema is bichal chaya and a chaya is bichal behema, as well as what dinim we learned out, and what do we do in the case when we have these extraneous times where chaya or behema are mentioned independently, even though we could have learned one from the other? And he responded to me, Chaval al ben Azai shaloshimeshet Rabbi Yishmael. Woe is to ben Azai, it's a real loss that I was not mishamesh, I'm a talmid vatik. I didn't spend more time with Rabbi Shmuel, because had I done that, I would have had this limud and I would have known this information. That's what Rabbi Yonatan reports to us, that Ben Azai responded after hearing the limud of Rabbi Shmuel. Okay, we'll stop over here.